This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 249.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Every so often, I do a podcast interview where the guest gives so much value that I literally don't want the interview to stop. And this is an example of such an interview. So my guest is Simon Vincenzi, and he's talking about how to get booked as a speaker and how to get booked really frequently as a speaker. And honestly, he just shares so many great tips in this episode that I just didn't want the interview to stop. Unfortunately, we had to stop because he had to go on and speak somewhere, but it really is a valuable episode. So if you're out there walking your dog, if you're driving, if you're at the gym, then you may want to go back and have a listen to this one later because he does share so many great tips. But before we get to the interview, I just wanted to remind you about my live event, Media Influence Live. So this is my two-day event that I'm holding in July in London. So that's 2018 if you're listening in the future, and it's July the 5th and 6th. Now, this is my annual event where I can get you in a room for the day with some really high-profile journalists and influencers. So this year, I've got an amazing lineup of speakers. So I've got journalists from the BBC, from Radio 5 Live, from ITV's Good Morning Britain, from The Guardian, from The Sun's Fabulous magazine, from Grazia. I've also got Emma Gannon, who's a really successful podcaster. I've got a really successful YouTuber for you in Jess Dante. I've got a sales expert, Jess Lorimer. I've got Andrew and Pete talking about how to get anyone to say yes to you. So this really is a fantastic event in terms of building your media influence. Now, if you've been along to any of my events before, then you'll know that they're not the kind of events where you come along and you just sit and listen to the speakers. I ask all of my speakers to stay around all day. I ask them to sit on the tables with you so that you can grab them at any point in the day. You can ask them a question. You can chat to them over breaks and lunch. I make sure that I choose people who are really approachable, really accessible. So you will hear them speak, but you'll also get to meet them all individually in our speed networking session. So on day one, this is always the most popular part of the day. We get each of our speakers sitting on a table and we get them to rotate around the room. So basically they get to meet everybody, and you will get to meet all of the speakers and ask all the questions that you've got. If you really want to dig deeper, then we run a VIP mastermind session at the end of the day. So that's 2 hours long, and we limit this to 8. Sometimes we push it to 10 if there's a lot of demand. Basically, you get 20 minutes in the hot seat to talk about your business, the challenges that you're facing in your business, and to get feedback from our media influencers, from our journalists and our experts, which is really an invaluable opportunity. So day one is just a whirlwind. You'll get to hear so much amazing information from our speakers about what they're looking for with their content, how you can pitch them, how you can get in touch, how you can really build a relationship with the media. Day two is about consolidation. So we'll look more closely at how to put really great pitches together, how you're going to take what you've learned on day one and then put it into action, turn it into a strategy. So on day two, that's when I've got Jess Lorimer talking about, you know, how to get used to being in the spotlight, how to get over any issues or hangups you might have about being seen on social media or in the traditional media. We've got Andrew and Pete, who'll be talking about how to get anyone to say yes to you. So how to pitch yourself to the traditional media and podcasters, for example, but also event organizers. So how to really get yourself out there and get fearless about pitching yourself. So it's going to be a really, really great day too. It's a really social event as well. As the event's grown over the last few years, we've done more and more social events. So on day one, we all go out to dinner together. So that's me and my team will come with you for dinner. The night before the event, if you're staying in London, then we'll have informal drinks as well. So it's not just about meeting the speakers. It's also about getting to spend a day or a couple of days, in fact, with some really, really inspiring business owners, people who are ambitious and driven like you and are looking for ways to build their media influence. So as you can tell, I'm really, really excited about the event. We're already a third of the way through the tickets. So if you want to come along, I would suggest that you don't hang about. We'd sold out a month before the event last year. So don't hang about. As this is going live, this episode, you'll have just a few more days to get the early bird ticket prize. So this episode will be going out on Friday, April the 13th, and the early bird finishes just a few days later. So if you're listening to this and you think, I really fancy that event, then do book your ticket quickly. I will put a link for you in the show notes. And with that, now it's time to get on with this really useful interview. So joining me on the show today is Simone Vincenzi, and I've been practicing his name to see if I can get it right. I'm not quite sure I got it completely right, but maybe I was near.
You did completely.
And he helps speakers and coaches to dominate in their industry. So Simone, hope I've said that right, is an expert in a number of areas, but one thing he's really good at is getting speaking gigs, and he gets about 200 a year. So I thought it would be really great to get him on the show so he could share with us how we can do it. So welcome to the show. I'm going to try it again. Simone, have I got that better?
That was perfect. That was perfect, Janet. Thank you very much for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. So might you be able to start by telling us a little bit about you?
Of course. I would love to. I help experts to become authorities in their field. That's what we do in GTEX. And I personally became so passionate about this topic because I remember I came from a completely different industry than the coaching, consulting, expert industry. I actually came from the catering industry. I used to manage restaurants, and I started working in restaurants from a very young age, when I was 14 years old, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I worked very intensely there. And I actually, by the age of 19, I've worked in more than 300 different restaurants. So now you can spot a trend now, having 200 speaking gigs a year, working 300 restaurants in a few years. I'm a very intense person. I live my life to the fullest. If I find something that I love, I'll go for it 100%. And that's what happened. So I became the youngest Michelin star restaurant manager in Europe when I was 19. And then I've been recruited to work here in the UK to work in other Michelin star restaurant. And bearing in mind, at the time I was 21 and I couldn't speak English at all. So I didn't even know how this person recruited me to work for their restaurant, but they probably saw something in me. And they said, we want you to work for us. And I said, okay. So I took a flight and came to the UK. And when I was 22, I got bored. I got bored to work in restaurants. And if you think about it, from 14 to 22, I already had a full-time 8-year career in the catering industry. And I said, okay, I want to find something different. And I didn't know what to do. So I started attending a lot of seminars and courses. And one day, I was attending a free seminar. I remember that like it was yesterday. I was there on the first row. I was always in the first row, every single seminar. And I looked at the speaker and I said, that's what I want to do. I didn't even know what that was, by the way. But I said, that is what I want to do. I want to be on a stage, change lives, and share what I know. So I said, okay, where shall I start? Because who wants to hear from someone who manages a restaurant? I mean, unless other restaurant owners. And that was not the field where I wanted to keep working on. So I worked in, I went to attend a lot of courses, I trained as a coach, and then I started my coaching business, but it was very difficult because I was there at 22. You know, go out there and say, hey, I can be your life coach when you're 22. Like, it's like, who the heck are you? So it was very difficult from the very get-go. And I remember I did more than 200 coaching sessions for free to become the best I could be. And then I decided to start my own event because I could get no speaking gigs. No one wanted me to speak at their events. I didn't know how to approach other event organizers. I didn't know how to get clients. And I said, well, all these speakers are running their events. Let me start with mine.
Wow. That's really interesting because that's something I often find myself saying to my clients as well. Okay, you want to speak at events? Why not run your own? So, but it's still a scary step, isn't it? So I guess if you're saying you didn't know how to find clients, you didn't know how to get speaking gigs, then my next question is, how did you sell the tickets to your events then?
It was, so the first one was a free event. Mm-hmm. There was no ticket sales. And we actually been running free events since then. And that was 5 years ago. Since the first ever free event that we did. But the funny thing is that when we started GTEx, me and my business partner had both £100 each in our bank account. So we started with literally £200 in total. So we didn't have any money to hire a venue. And we negotiated this venue for free in an organic farm in central London. So it was a room called the Straw Bale Room. And it was literally made by straw bale. There were pigs around. A funky smell in the air. Which you can imagine what kind of smell you can have in a farm. But that's what we could afford. And we negotiated that room for 7 events for free. And I remember the first event, we spent about a month and a half marketing it. I was so excited. We had about 30 people registered for free. I said, yeah, it's going to be packed because the room could hold 30 people. Now, at that time, little did I knew that when you run a free event, you need to have more registration and actually attendees that you want to have in the room and many more. So we had 4 people in the room. 2 were the speakers that we got on the day to speak. And one was the father of my business partner. And the other person was just like a random person who decided to turn up. And we made sure we chained that person at the chair and said, no, you're not going to leave right now. It's like, you're staying and just staying until the end. And that's how it all started. Running events.
And how did you feel on that first night? So you'd worked really hard, you'd got 30 people to sign up, and you had 4 people. How did that make you feel?
I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, in a moment, Janet, where you felt excited and frustrated at the same time. And you're like, I'm so happy right now, but I'm so sad right now. And I don't know if I'm switching to sad and happiness at the same time. What's going on? That's how I felt that night. I was really happy because it was a huge milestone for me, considering that for the first time I was able to speak in public. And, you know, being a waiter and managing a restaurant is a public speaking training in per se. Because, you know, there are sometimes I had to take orders to tables, large tables of 50 people. And I was by myself, and I needed all the 50 people at the table to be quiet and listen to me and take the order. So I gained some speaking skills while I was working in a restaurant, but completely different from a professional speaking.
And so 5 years on, how many people do you get to your events now?
Oh, we did event with 1,000 people. We did event with 500 people. We are doing events. The majority of our events are actually in the average of about 30 to 50 people, because we like the majority of our event to be small and intimate. And then every now and then we will do a large event. And so that's how we decided to run our events now.
Okay, so talk us through that journey then. So how did you get from the stage where you had 2 people, 2 of which were the speakers, 4 people, sorry, 2 of which were the speakers, to being able to fill up events of that scale?
There were, let's say that in between that, there have been more than 800 events, which I was speaking of in the past 5 years. So it's been a grueling journey of speaking wherever I could. Mm-hmm. If there are people there that could listen, I'm there to speak. That's my philosophy. Someone can listen, I'm there, and I'm there speaking live. And the journey has been a big learning process, in particular on a few different elements. Because when you're running events, there are different layers. You have the logistical side. So an event with 5 people is very different from managing an event with 1,000 people. The sales side, if you're not able to monetize event, they can become a very expensive learning experience. And I'm sure we have all been there running events. And then the marketing side, how do we actually not only get people to register, but get people to turn up once they register, in particular if it's a free event? Or if it's a paid event, then it's much easier. But then it becomes, how do we sell the ticket in the first place? Get people to then commit and turn up, because that becomes sales up front.
So what have you learned that works in terms of getting bums on seats, as we would say?
Absolutely. In terms of getting bums on seats, there are a few things that work incredibly well. Something that I love to switch the focus on, instead of focusing on the number of registration that you can have, which is definitely important, but focusing on the engagement that you can provide for these people to show up.
Right, okay.
Because you see, there are some people that might have, you know, to get 100 people in the room in a free event, they might need 1,500 registrations. That's the actual ratio, or at least 1,000 registration here in London. While if you focus on the engaging those people that have said, I'm going to register, and you focus and you do the best you can, you engage them with messenger bots, you engage them with text messages, with emails, and with phone calls. That's all we do. So every free event that we do, we have messenger bot sequences, text messages, email sequence, and phone calls to make sure that those people turn up. That's why we can have, instead of a 10%, which is the average show up rate on a free event, a 40 to 50% show up rate. So if we need 100 people, now we need to have 200 or 250 registration, not 1,000. Therefore, it will cut massively our marketing cost up front.
So it's a bit like when you, I don't know, I've had certain hairdressers that I've been with for a while, and some of them send you a text message to remind you about your appointment. They do it at the dentist and things like that. And you invest in that kind of thing because that cuts down your number of people that are not going to show up. So basically, it's like you carry on marketing to people after they've committed to say that they're going to come along, but you keep marketing to them and you keep making sure that they actually come through the door on the evening or the day or whatever. And what are the strategies you've used to actually, I know I want to talk about getting booked as a speaker, but I'm quite fascinated by this because I never run free events. And the reason I don't run free events is, I mean, having in the past, is because of the old people don't value what they get for free. And just like you say, if people haven't paid, then it's very easy to go, oh, I've got a bit of a cold, or, oh, I'm not feeling so good today, or, oh, I'm tired or whatever, and just go home from work or not bother to get on the train and come or whatever. So I'm really kind of fascinated by this model. So presumably you've had to do things like build your email list, build your following online. What's been most successful for you in terms of actually having, you know, getting 200 people to sign up for a free event? Even if there are 100 turn up, that's really good, isn't it? So how have you managed to get that kind of audience?
The biggest part, and I'm sharing what I've done myself. So I know that there are multiple ways to build your audience. You teach some, your guests, other guests teach others. I share with you what worked for me, which actually is speaking at other people's events.
Ah, okay. Yes, of course. Yeah.
It makes sense. Now, there are a few reasons why. I think it's all about context. Now, if someone is online, they're already saying that they love spending time online. So if someone is attending a webinar, they're already saying to you as a user, I like to consume content in an online format.
Mm.
But if someone is already an audience of someone else's event, is already saying something, there is something about that person which makes them ultra qualified. First of all, they are the few people that actually decided to turn up if it's the other person of a free event. But if you're speaking to someone else's paid event, even better, you have an audience there that actually paid to be there. They took one day or maybe or an evening or 3 days or 2 days off from their lives to be there. So therefore, once you're there speaking to them, you're speaking to the hottest crowd that you can find.
That makes total sense. But I've got another question for you, actually.
Yeah, of course.
So as a speaker myself, and this is something that I find quite challenging, I get asked to speak quite a lot. I get paid to speak, which is great. And sometimes I might speak for free if I feel that there's the benefit for me taking however long it is out of my day or my weekend or whatever to go somewhere and speak for free. But I do have to weigh it up very carefully, because if I was to accept all of the invitations I get to speak, I probably wouldn't be at home, and I wouldn't be able to, I say at home, being in my office, and I wouldn't be able to kind of, you know, produce this podcast, for example, or create some of the other content that I create. So it's a really kind of tough one. So you said, obviously you did 200 in a year.
Uh-huh.
How do you balance paid with free? And you said basically if there's an audience, you'll speak there.
Yes.
How do you do that? Because my experience of event organizers is they'll try and get you for free if they can. And if you say, well, no, actually, I'd like to be paid, they might find some budget for you, or they might not have it. So I'd just love to know a little bit about how you negotiate all of that. And then I promise we'll get into the actual getting the speaking gigs. But this is all really relevant.
All the questions that you have, I'm here. So I have a philosophy around events and around speaking. And I've been judged by some professionals association. They say that I'm wrong, but it works for me. And my philosophy is no speaking gig is a free speaking gig.
That's true. Yeah.
So I always, first of all, establish, is there budget? So can you pay me? Then if they say, no, I can't pay you, which is the majority of them, then I would say, can I sell? Now, funny enough, I make way more money when I sell than when I get paid.
Mm.
And the fact is, I actually right now prefer a free speaking gig, or I prefer even to pay to be on a certain stage rather than having the organizer pay me up front and not allow me to sell.
I can totally see that.
That's a personal view, because if you, I got paid up to, because it's not been my focus, finding paid speaking engagement is not my niche. Because as a speaker, you will specialize in one niche. So I specialized in selling from the stage. Whilst you might find other speakers that want to be known as keynote speakers or MC, and that's something also that I do as a professional MC, but it's not what I want to be known for, if it makes sense. So I would actually get paid $2,000, $2,500 for the 90 minutes or for the half a day. That's as much as I've been paid. And I'd rather go and sell, and I know that the lifetime value of the clients that I'm going to bring with me is going to be much more. Even if one person buys in the room, is more than the fee that they would have paid me.
Yeah, that totally, totally makes sense. I totally get that. And what are you selling from the stage?
Different services. Personally, GTEX is an umbrella with four different mini companies inside them. We have a digital marketing agency, so we can sell digital marketing services, if that's the talk, what I'm going to talk about. I can sell training on how to become an authority in your industry, which is another part of what our training that we sell. We can sell, we also have an event management company. So I can pitch services for event management for other speakers to other speakers, because it's something that we do. By having so many events, we build relationship with a lot of five-star and four-star venues here in London that we can get at a price which is ridiculous. So we can cut costs to the other speakers. And then the other part is that we run a sales training for a recruitment agency. But that's my business partner, and it takes care of it. So depending from where I am speaking, I can pitch the product or service which is more related to the audience and more relevant. Because it's all about relevancy, right? If I'm in front of an audience that wants to learn about, for example, public speaking, and they want to learn about how to become speakers, I'm going to sell something which is going to be related to public speaking. I'm not going to sell something which is related to digital marketing. So it's all about the audience. The audience will determine what product I'm going to sell.
Yeah, that's really, really good, interesting philosophy. Okay, so let's talk about why is it? I mean, I think we've already covered it off really, but why it's good to get speaking gigs. I think anybody who has a business, if you feel you've got it in you to be speaking, I feel like you should be out there doing it. But can you talk a bit about the benefits? And also, actually, something I wanted to bring up as well, because this comes up all the time with my audience. So people say, well, I'm a product-based business, you know, so I sell chocolates, or I sell coffee, or I sell jewelry. So where do I fit in? So could you talk a little bit about, you know, how it can help you, regardless of whether you have a coaching business or an information-based business, or you have a product-based business?
Absolutely. I've seen and done with both. So let's talk about the benefits first. Benefit is that I haven't found anything that converts, that gets someone to from I don't know you to I want to pay you a lot of money faster than having a speaking engagement or speaking to a live audience. Because if you think about online is great in principle, because yes, it gives you freedom of time. It gives you, you can work from everywhere. The reality for me is that you're spending a lot of bloody time behind your laptop, and I'm a people person, and that's not something I enjoy. And the other part is it takes a longer conversion cycle for someone that finds out about you online. They need to watch at least like 5 or 10 videos, come on one of your webinars, listen to 50 podcast episodes, and maybe they will buy.
It's so true.
Right. So if you want to have, if you're looking at the average sales made on an email list, which I'm not saying don't build your email list, build your email list, it's crucial. But then you have about like a 0.01% of sales made from your list. And so if someone says, well, I have a list of 10 people, why not making sales? Well, build it to 1,000, you might make one. And of course, it depends by your positioning and how well you take care of that list. So numbers will vary from person to person. But if you're going and you talk in a room of 10 people, and even if you do an average work job, then you can come home with at least one or two clients.
No, I think it's true. Whenever I speak anywhere, I'm trying to think of an occasion where I haven't walked away with a piece of paid work. I think it's very, very rare. Or generally people will come up afterwards and say, can I book you to come in and deliver this training?
Yes.
Or could I book you for some consultancy? Or even if they buy a book or whatever it might be. And sometimes they might follow up. I don't know. Actually, I've got an email in my inbox at the moment, and I'm just negotiating doing some training with somebody. who must have heard me speak at an event probably about a year or two ago, because they referenced something that I said, and it was some phrase that I used, which I probably don't use anymore, but it was something that I was saying a lot at the time. Yeah. I remember it being in my presentations a lot at the time, but clearly they've remembered me and they've followed up with me. And so even if it doesn't convert at the time, I can't think of a speaking event that I've done where I haven't got some client work through it or some consultancy or training work through it. I think that's right, yeah.
Exactly. And the conversion cycle is very short. Now, you will have, of course, every time when you are speaking, you want to do a few things. One is to give something for free to build your emails. And also, if you're allowed to give an offer, because not every event organizer will allow you to sell. Now, it depends also by your sales style. There are some people that became great at the get it now close, which is the close where people are making a commitment right now. And that's something personally I've struggled with for many years, because I couldn't find a model that would fit me. I don't get people to run at the back of the room. I hate that. I don't like other speakers doing it. And so I had to find my own way of speaking. And I think that this is the beauty of it. Even if you're the kind of person you're saying, well, but I don't like selling from the stage. I don't like getting people to run at the back of the room. Great. There is another way, or find your own way.
Mm.
At the end of the day, people will resonate with you.
Yeah, it's interesting because as we're recording this, I've just put the tickets on sale for my live event, Media Influence Live. Literally, the email has gone out as we're recording this interview, which is why when I said to you, I was just looking at the sales page before we got this call, that's what I was looking at. And it's interesting because I don't see myself as somebody that sells from the stage. But as you were talking, I thought, well, actually, I do this, because when I run my own live events, as you'll know, the best time to sell your tickets for your next event, or to, in my case, get people to join my membership, is when they're in the room at a live event with me. So I will, at every juncture, actually, I'll stop and I'll talk a little bit about saying, by the way, you know, I don't know if any of you are aware of my membership community, but this is kind of what we do in the community. And I'll say, you know, do you mind putting your hand up if you're in my community? And you know, you can go. And what we actually do is, in our program, we have a little a symbol or a star that we have pictures of everybody who comes to my events in my program. And we'll put a little star next to the name. We'll put studio member so that the other people in the room can see who's in the membership. And I say that you can see in the program who's in the membership. If you want to get a real view of what it's like to be a member of my membership community, you can go and talk to these people. My assistant Jo's at the back of the room. You can go and have a chat with her if you've got any questions about it. And so when you were talking, I thought, I don't ever sell
for someone who doesn't sell.
But for me, I think the point is that for me, that doesn't feel like selling, because I think, like, I've got these people in a room who are all clearly interested in what I'm teaching, and they're all clearly interested enough to buy a ticket to this event, and they've invested their time and their money. These are the ideal people to join my community. And I feel like if I don't tell them about it, if I'm too embarrassed and too shy to tell them about it and say, hey, come and talk to us, come and ask some questions, there's some other people in the room that you can get but I would be doing them a disservice, because this could be really good for them. But also, it's a wasted opportunity for me as well, because these are my ideal customers and they're all sitting in front of me. And actually, when I first started doing it, I think I must have got better at it, or I've got better at getting the right people in the room, because I used to get the odd comment probably a mixture of both. But I've got, I used to get the odd comment on my feedback cards that would say too much selling or whatever. And it hurts, actually, when you first see that, it hurts. But I think, well, no, actually, you know, I'm not trying to sell somebody a holiday to Cyprus or something. I'm selling something really relevant, and I'm just, here's the opportunity. If you want to know more, here's where to find out more. Go and chat to Joe. But I find that you need to say it a few times, and we always get, I'd say, at least, I'm trying to think of conversion, a good sort of, I'm trying to think of the conversion, 10% of people who come along to a live event will then join my membership, or a good 10% will then come and sign up for the next event or whatever. We always set ourselves a target for what we think would be a reasonable conversion, a reasonable number of people that would come and join us in whatever it is that we're offering. So I sell from, I didn't realize I did, but you've just made me realize that I sell from the stage all the time.
And you found your own way.
Yeah, exactly.
And found the way that works for you. And you find that everyone will have their own way. So, for example, we run a three-day event. And our conversions from this three-day event, I mean, we've been running now about more than 20 of these three-day events. So the sales process has been refined. The offer is no-brainer. Even if it's in the £10,000 mark, we get about 80% of conversion in the room. So every 10 people, we get 8 people to pay 10 grand to be there.
That's amazing.
It's freaking awesome. In particular, I mean, recently we had an event with 13 people in the room. We made £100,000 in sales on the day.
Mm, amazing.
It was insane. And what I loved about this is that once you fine tune your way of selling your product and your services, then I really believe is your ticket to financial freedom. Because there is this myth that, oh my God, I need to be a speaker. I need to be in front of thousands of people. I mean, I did a speaking gig with Les Brown in front of 1,000 people. I organized another event with Gary Vaynerchuk with 500 people. But the majority of my income comes from small events,
mm-hmm.
20, 30, even sometimes 10 people in the room. I'm happy even if I have 5 people in the room.
Mm.
Because as long as I give the best of myself, I give them something of value that they can use and take straight away, even if it's a free event or even if it's a paid event. I always want them to leave the room saying, oh my God, this was awesome. And then if the offer then is relevant and the offer is a no-brainer and they say, oh my God, this is really awesome, then I get them excited and they're going to buy. And that's why I love this model. And that's one of the other benefits of being a speaker and running live events. You don't need a huge audience to make a very substantial amount of money.
Yeah, as you were talking, actually, I remembered that my conversion rate is higher than I thought. Because I remembered that when we sell our membership, actually, half the people are already members. So actually, we convert about 25, 30%, which actually isn't bad at all. And so now I'm going to be obsessively thinking about this. It's really interesting. And we got slightly off track, but I think it's really important. You've really made me think. And I think if you've made me think, you're going to make other people think as well. This product-based business thing as well. So let's say, for example, that yes. I sell coffee. I'm just thinking of one of my clients, actually. So I've got people who sell coffee pods. I've got people who sell jewellery. I've got people who make their own sort of jewellery, but quite high-end stuff. So where each piece might be 5.5-6 grand, so it's quite high-end stuff. Quite a variety. But they always say to me things like, well, what have I got? Who could I talk to? What could I talk to them about? What would you say to somebody like that?
That's brilliant. That's a great question. And my answer is, the answer is already out there. And you will, as soon as I say it, people will be like, oh my God, why haven't I done this before? Have you seen other brand, like luxury brand, like Bentley, Rolls Royce, Rolex, doing live events?
I haven't, but do they?
There are.
Yeah.
There are a lot. And the way it happens is that they are invitation only.
Yeah, that's why I don't know about
some
them,
people
isn't it?
Are not even aware that they happen. Because what they are looking for is, who are some people that express an interest and they know their target market and they know their target client, and they will send some specific invitation via a referral or other ways to invite people on this gala high-end event. So now what they're creating is an opportunity for people to come together. So as you, as a speaker, if you're selling a piece of jewelry that you know can cost even £10,000 or $10,000 for people to buy, you can create a nice event where you can invite, you know, it's a nice dinner, you can invite the right people. And then talk about the story behind the jewelry. Because I know that every designer that creates high-end garments, they have a story behind every single piece.
Yeah.
There is an inspiration, there is a motivation, there is a reason why. It's not just a piece which is done for the sake of it. So that's what high-end brands do. So if you organize a dinner, which can be paid or it can be free, to attract your ideal clients, that's a great way to create brand awareness. You can create also a great video and an incredible show reel. So that is all part of the experience that your brand provide as a high-end brand.
Mm, yeah, that's fabulous. So Susie Jones, if you're listening, that one is for you.
And, right, Susie. Go for it.
Susie Jones, go for it. So
if you need an MC for the event, let me know, Susie.
Yeah. I'm also thinking I've got some clients who are artists as well. That could really work for them as well. What about lower end? So I'm thinking about coffee pods. So I'm thinking about, you know, somebody who might have a coffee pod subscription to sell, or some of my clients, you know, I've got a client who sells necklaces for mums, and they're kind of anti-teething. So not anti-teething, but you know, if your baby chews on them, they won't get scuff marks all over them. What about that sort of lower end stuff? What would you be thinking about if you, I'm not saying lower end, I mean just lower price end is what I mean. What would you be thinking about in terms of speaking for something like that?
Yes, absolutely fantastic. So in terms of organizing your own events or even speaking at other people's events, every business has an ideal client. So let's go back to basic. Every business has an ideal client, and your ideal clients will have different passions. Now, if someone is a mom with a baby, it's not that they are just a mom with a baby in their lives. So you will know that you will target and you will service a mom with a baby, maybe with a passion for yoga. Maybe. Who knows? So now there might be a yoga conference where you can go there and talk about, deliver a presentation that gives information to the mom as an individual. Because you can have information to share to your target clients to attract your target clients to learn more about that specific topic of expertise that you're talking about. So I'll give you another example. One of my businesses, which I had before, I had shares in a business which I helped grow from 120,000 to about 800,000 in about 6 months. And it was an organic health food store. So we had an organic health food shop, and within a year, we opened a pub, two other stores, and a restaurant, an organic Hungarian restaurant, right? A bit weird, because my business partner there was Hungarian, and he was the person who actually took me off homelessness. He gave me a place to sleep where I didn't have any money, and he allowed me, by working in his shop, I was bartering my rent by working in his shop while I was building my coaching business, and then we became business partner because we were talking business all the time, and I could bring value to his activity. And one of the ways to create awareness for the store was to organize a festival. We knew our clients that were interested in organic living because it was an organic food store. So what the owner decided to create is the tomato festival. We had in central London, actually in southeast London, in New Cross, a festival every year where we were growing more than, I think it was 400 different types of tomato.
Wow.
And they were homegrown, and we were growing them on the rooftop of the shop. And then we were inviting the community, and all the children were planting the tomato, and then we're reaping their own tomato, and they were coming home with their tomato, and they were decorating the pots, and it was creating a community around that business.
Love it.
And then what happens, I remember this is one of the biggest business lesson I've learned from this incredible genius businessman, which is called Mihai Herzeg. And the restaurant is called the Rosemary, and it's there in New Cross Gate here in London. And he said, build the community first, and then the community will build your business.
I love that. So build a community first, and then the community will build your business.
Now, thinking that, this person has no idea about what online marketing is. He has no freaking clue about online marketing. But if you're thinking about right now, everyone is talking about you need to build a community to have your business online, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same things happen in real life. It's the same. We are people. We love and we thrive in community. So if you're able to attract a community that you know you're targeting moms, you're creating something for moms, then because you become the creator and the facilitator of that environment, if they have to buy a piece of jewelry, where will they buy from? They will buy from you.
Yeah. And I often say to my product-based business owners, I often say to them, you don't just sell necklaces, or you don't just sell coffee pots, or you just don't sell, I don't know, lingerie, whatever it is. You are an expert in whatever you sell. So, and this works for press coverage as well. So one of my clients in my membership, she has a lingerie store up in Edinburgh, and she was quoted in the Daily Mail giving her expert view about whether underwired bras were going out of fashion. But that for me is a perfect example, because she's thinking beyond the fact she doesn't just sell stuff. She's actually, and she would say that herself, she's passionate about this lingerie and swimwear shop. She's passionate about helping women to feel good about themselves. So I feel she could be out there talking about that very topic and getting raving fans of her products as well, but by thinking about herself as an expert. Would you agree on that, or have anything to add on that?
Nothing to add on there. You said exactly the truth. Is you have knowledge and expertise that allowed you in the first place to build that product or service in the way that product or service is designed. And by sharing what was the reasoning behind, what was the real motive, the reason why you were able to share it, to create it in this way, is much easier to get in press. Give you another example of how we use it for the pub. We had this pub that we opened in Gravesend.
Yeah, so that's where I live in Gravesend.
Really?
I do, yeah. What's the pub?
The pub was the Ascot Arms.
Yes, I know that pub, yeah. My daughter's danced there before, yeah.
Exactly. So before, it had a very bad reputation before.
Mm, it did. It was called the Central before, yeah.
Thank you. And then we refurbished it again completely. We've been there for a couple of years. Then unfortunately, it didn't work out, so we had to sell. But one of the things that we did to create awareness...
Was it the petting zoo? Was it the petting zoo?
Yes! Yes! Thank
See,
you!
See, I know!
Right? Here we go. So we created this petting zoo where there was a donkey that children could ride. Then there were guinea pigs there. There were chicken and hens. And all in a pub. So some people would say, well, in a pub? You have a donkey in a pub? Are you crazy? But we went all over the press. What's the local magazine of Gravesend?
I don't know what that would be, but I remember reading about it in the local newspaper, and that's how I knew about it, which shows that press could work.
It's incredible. That's probably you've seen my picture with the founder pointing at the pub while it was refurbishing. So we went in the magazines there, and that's what you do. You create something unique and you make people talk about it.
Mm.
And I take no credit for this idea because that was all Mihai's idea. That was his passion. That was his reason why I was a genius at it.
Yeah, well, we were all talking about it because it was the roughest pub in town. And everyone was like, oh, I can't believe, you know, there's going to be a petting zoo there. And everyone thought it was funny and amusing. But when people think, you know, they share it, don't they? And they talk about it. And that's exactly what you want, isn't it? And they go and see and they go and try it out. So that's really funny that I knew about that.
Here we go. Such a small world, right?
Okay. So there was one other question I wanted to ask, actually, which is getting a kind of personal curiosity question. This stuff's so interesting. So one of the things that comes up for me, and we will get into how you actually find the speaking gigs and get booked for them in a second. But so when I first started out with my business, so as many of you will know, I spent 17, 18 years writing and editing for national newspapers. In fact, I still do a little bit of that, but not very much anymore. But when I first decided, actually, I don't think I want to be a journalist anymore. I want to teach people how to get press. And then as I've grown, more about promoting their business more broadly. But when I first started out talking to small business owners about how to get press, I realized I needed to get out there and start talking about it. So I did local chamber of commerce type events. I did local federation of small businesses. And where in the area that I live, I can imagine it's probably different in London. You get different types of businesses. But, you know, I went around and I spoke at quite a lot of events for free. And they were okay. Some were better than others. It was a good way to start getting my name out there and start meeting people. But I didn't feel I was meeting the right kind of people. So nowadays I probably wouldn't speak at those events. And when a speaking request comes in, obviously you're weighing up your time against, you know, the resources that are going to be involved. You know, do they want you to create something from scratch? Do they, you know, whereabouts is it? How long is it going to take you to get there? All that kind of stuff. So I find I'm often weighing those things up. If there's a budget, then I'm probably more likely to do it. Then if there's not a budget, I'm thinking, well, that could take out, you know, that could knock out a whole day or 2 days for me to do that. And actually, I'm not sure that the return on investment. But also, do you get to a stage where, I'm trying to think of a diplomatic way to put it, where you need to up level and where actually you want to be seen speaking at better events? Like, should I still be, if the Chamber of Commerce asked me to go and speak to 10 people, should I still go and do that because that is getting in front of some people? Or does there come a stage where you have to up level? Does that kind of make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And I think that the answer is very personal. I believe that there is a moment where you want to up level, when you don't want to be seen, you want to be seen in bigger stages. But it also depends at what level your business is. Now, I know that for my current level of business, the huge speaking opportunities, unless I have to pay tens of thousands to be on a large stage, they're not happening quite as frequent yet. So I still have a very high number of the smaller ones, while the number of the bigger ones are increasing. So I believe that is never burning bridges completely is never a smart choice. That's something that I believe in. And, you know, when you find a person that says, oh, you know what, I'm sick and tired right now, I'm going to quadruple my prices overnight because I don't want to work. Now, if your audience is the audience that buys at a price that was a quarter of the one that you're putting now, you'll find yourself, unless you have already a brand new audience, very quickly without money. Because now you need to build a complete new audience, a complete new avatar, a complete new avatars of following. That so if you're cutting it completely, then you're going to create a problem, a cash flow problem in your business. So I personally is a very personal answer. You're saying, where am I right now in my speaking journey? Can I be at a point where if I just say yes to the large speaking opportunities that I have in my calendar, or if I just pursue those larger speaking opportunities, will my business grow the way I want it to grow? The other option, which is something that I've been doing now at the moment, is training other people to deliver the presentation to the smaller events.
Oh, okay, so scaling.
Scaling up, exactly. So now they are going to be selling the products and the services and being the face of the business. Of course, when you're an event, when you're a speaker, they want to see you, right? Someone listens to the podcast and says, oh, wow, I like this crazy guy, Simone. I want to work with Simone. And then I say, well, you work with the other person. They say, no, but I want to work with Simone. Right? And the same with Janet and everyone else. It's just the nature of our industry. But as long as you make things clear up front, that's one of the options. People have two options. You can have me as a speaker and you can pay me this much. This is my budget. Or you can have Jennifer, which will come to speak on my behalf, and she will come and speak for free. The content will be the same. I've trained her, so you can be sure that she's going to be great. And that's another way to scale your speaking business. Some people think that speaking business are not scalable. Actually, are very scalable. Just need to scale it in the right way.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's talk about, let's say, for example, I decided I wanted to get 200 speaking gigs like you, which I now do, and I wanted to talk to you.
Right. I'm talking. Okay, no, but so that's brilliant.
So I decided.
I would say first, you're crazy, don't do it. First I would say, you're crazy, don't do it.
But if I decided I wanted to get lots of speaking gigs, what would you say? Where would be the best place for me to start to look for appropriate speaking gigs? How would you suggest I reached out to people? Would you suggest cold pitching? Should we talk a little bit about the tactics?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about the tactics. Now, I've created something, which is actually a podcast episode, where I talked about 15 ways to get speaking gigs. So if you're not able to cover all of them, which probably will not, then I'll send you so you can put in the show notes as well for your listener to listen to. So let's check how can we get those speaking gigs. Now, one, you said it already. You like a local networking events, Chamber of Commerce. They're always looking for speakers consistently. So in particular, if you service businesses and you have a great service and a great product, then you can approach those networking events. Now, I'm going to divide depending on where you are in your speaking journey. Because if you're starting out, you want to get everything as much as possible. You want to get as many speaking gigs as possible so you can become the best possible speaker you can be. If people don't buy most of the time, it's also because your positioning, your messaging, your presentation, and the way you presented it is not right or can be much better. So the first step is speak everywhere you can to get this exposure. So networking events, coffee meetings, chamber of commerce. There is a company, which is an organization called Internations, which is very famous all over the world, that creates events for expats that are living in different countries. And they're always looking for event organizers, always organizing events. Another organization called the JCI, which is the equivalent of the Junior Chamber of Commerce, and became very famous all over the world because Obama worked with them and was part of JCI. And I delivered many presentations for them. There are, if you move on still in the offline world, looking at conferences, business expos, there are so many of them. There are a lot of them around. Now, remember, having a speaking business is it really depends in the area location where you're situated. Now, if you're running a free event in Gravesend, I don't know how many people actually are going to come.
No, I wouldn't. That's why I run mine in London.
Exactly. So remember, when you're talking about speaking business and running your events or seminars or finding speaking gigs, they all say location, location, location works. Because if you're leaving the countryside and now you create your event or you find for speaking gigs in the countryside, good luck. You might have a couple of like sheep and cows listening to you. But you need to be in the city or where things happen in your area to find those speaking gigs. So look at meetup events. A meetup is an incredible website where you can just put a keyword and you can find all different sorts of meetups. And a lot of meetup organizers, they are consistently looking for speakers because I have a meetup with more than 3,000 people. And my meetup needs consistent events to be active. Otherwise, my members will get bored. So I'm always looking for speakers for those meetups. Another one is go on Eventbrite. If you go on Eventbrite and you put your topic, so if you are, for example, selling jewelry for women, you put women events for women, health and wellness for women, or for moms, then you will look at all the events that are there. And then the easiest way that you can find a speaking gig, you can get a speaking gig in this way, is actually saying this magic word, hi. You send them an email, hi, I've seen your event published on Meetup, Eventbrite, wherever. Do you take sponsors for your event? Do you accept sponsors for your events? Now, you might say, what sponsors? I want to go there and speak. I don't. I can hear that. But now, imagine if every speaker now pitches them and they say, oh, can I come and speak at your event? This is my bio. This is my speaker page, whatsoever. Can I come and speak? What would stand out more in their inbox? An email say, do you accept sponsorships or can you get me to speak?
Yeah, as an event organizer, sponsorship.
Thank you very much. Now, the good thing is that not many event organizers, they have a sponsorship package. So they never heard of it or they never thought about it. Or they would say yes, because they want to. And then you can negotiate some crazy deals. I sponsored some time events with about 500, 600 people there paying £100. Now, is it worth going to the hottest crowd that you have in front of you in a live audience of 500-600 people that you know they are your potential customers, or even 100 people, but even 30 people, and paying £100-200 for it, or dollars? Oh yeah, it is. Of course, depends on what you're selling. If you're selling jewelry, then high-end jewelry, of course. If you're selling a product which you don't have much margins on top, then might not be the best strategy actually for your business. The best strategy would be creating an event where you attract a bunch of partners for mass distribution if you're looking for low margin. So this is the best way, the easiest way, where you can get speaking gigs cold from people that know you. We have a couple more for people that know you. There is this big truth in a speaking world, which I'm sure you're familiar with, which is speakers give, speakers work.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you. The majority of your speaking gigs, they will be given to you by recommendation of other speakers. If you ask them. Now, a lot of people, they are connected with so many other people that they know they're running presentations, they know they're running workshops, but never approach them and say, hey, what kind of events are you, or event organizer, can you put me in touch with, or you think I can be a good fit as a speaker? You can fill your calendar just with this. The other is something that I do very often. I'm very well connected with speakers on Facebook and on other social media platforms. And every time a speaker speaks, what do?
They tweet about it. They promote it everywhere.
They promote. They say, I've been just speaking at, I've seen you, what's the conference with Chris Ducker? The Upreneur conference. That's where you spoke last year, right?
Yeah.
I saw your post about it. You were saying, I'm here at the Upreneur conference speaking to Chris Ducker. Now, if I had a better relationship with Chris Ducker, or if I had a better relationship with you, I would have sent you a message and say, hey, can you please make an introduction to Chris Ducker so that I can speak there? Of course, this is about relationship, because if you didn't know me before and I say, hey, can I make an introduction to Chris Ducker? You would say, who the heck are you?
Yeah.
I'm never going to.
Funny you should say this. I have just introduced somebody to him who is going to be speaking at the event this year.
There you go.
Yeah. And they just emailed to say thank you.
So it works. So you're looking at for other people that you know that they're running events and they're speaking at events, and you're looking at when you're scrolling the social media, they will always tag the event organizer. They will always say, thank you, tag the event organizer for getting me to speak at your event.
Okay, that's great. Now, I've got one last question to ask you, because I'm aware that I've kept you longer, like I always do. I always keep everybody longer than I say. But
that's fine. I am actually speaking again. I need to be there in an hour.
Right, okay. So I'm going to ask you very quick. So I know that if you're listening now, you may well be thinking, this all sounds great, but this is going to take me a lot of time. Now, my answer to that would be, well, these things do take time. And sometimes you do just have to kind of like make a spreadsheet, you know, keep a list of all the events that you're interested in. make Twitter lists, follow the people you want to connect with on Twitter, and hang out on LinkedIn, and it does take time because it's a long game. But have you got any words of wisdom on that, or any tips you can share?
Yes, absolutely. It's about, as I said, it's about relationship. So let's say you find your first speaking gig, or you have been speaking before. Go back to the event organizers and ask them if they have another speaking opportunity, or if they know already another event. Because remember, event organizers know event organizers. So go back to the other event organizer and ask, can you make a recommendation of another event, or can you put me in touch with another event organizer for an event where you think I can be a good fit? That would be a great thing to do to get a speaking gig. In terms of managing the process, that's what virtual assistants are for. That's my big words of wisdom. You can have... Now, I got my wife. She's incredibly smart. She has a process. I think you're going to speak at one of an event that my wife organized.
Oh, is that your wife's event?
At Lovelda.
Oh.
Lovelda is my wife. You've been in touch with Anik, I think.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Okay, Anik is not my wife. She's a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
But the other person who organized the event with Anik is Lovelda, and she's my wife.
I know Lovelda is your wife. I didn't realize that. Wow, okay.
Here we go. Right, that's how we have the same surname. And so that's something that, and Lovelda is awesome. She's a machine in terms of getting speaking gigs. And she has a very organized way to get it. And she has email automation templates that go with that. I personally don't have all of that, because she goes for mass for paid speaking engagement as an MC. While I have a virtual assistant, and my virtual assistant creates a great spreadsheet where I'm in touch with all the event organizers. We manage all the responses that are coming in. We manage when we have time. And she's instructed that every 3 months to reach out to the different event organizers and to send 3 emails to the same event organizer if they don't respond.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this internal process, and it's managed by a virtual assistant. Because if you're managing it yourself, you're going to become crazy if you go for volume. If you go for once every now and then yes, of course, you can do it yourself.
Mm, okay, that's a really, really useful tip. Okay, well, I've taken up enough of your time and you need to get off to your speaking gig, but where can we find you if we want to know more about you?
Absolutely, two places. One is our podcast. So if you're listening to the show, probably very likely you like listening to podcasts. So we have a show called the Explode Your Expert Business Show. If you like my crazy voice in your ear and listen to a lot of other experts, actually Janet is going to be a guest soon on our show, so make sure you don't miss out the show.
No, don't miss that one.
Yes, absolutely. So you can find that on iTunes, everywhere. Explode Your Expert Biz Show. And then also I have a Selling from the Stage checklist that I've created for you. This is a lot of people were asking me, like, how do you become great at selling from the stage? How do I create a pitch that converts when I'm running seminars and webinars? And so I created a checklist for myself, and then I decided to give it away, and people received it very well. And you can find it here in the show notes. We think we can put the link, I'll send you the link of the checklist. We can put it there in the show notes, and there will be a page where you will see Janet's picture as well, which is a specific page that we have created from this podcast where you can download the checklist. If you want, you will be able also to join our Facebook group and to subscribe to our podcast as well, all there on that page.
Lovely. Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I know we've talked for longer than we planned to, but it's just been so brilliant. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I absolutely loved the interview, and thank you for having me on your show.
Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening right now. And also don't forget about my podcast guide. So this lists all of my podcast episodes to date. They're categorized by theme. So whatever challenge you're facing in your business, then you should be able to find a podcast episode, or in fact, several, to help you solve your problem. And you can get that at janetmarie.co.uk/podcastguide. So that's janetmarie.co.uk/podcastguide.